Hey guys, welcome to my podcast. I am Eden. I am a avid blogger. I write about things that happen day-to-day life, about my opinions, and I basically just share my peace of mind with everybody. Lately, I have been trying to come up with ways of getting my voice out there to talk about things that I feel in my heart don't necessarily get talked about enough. You will find that there are so many people out there who are trying to get this point across, but nobody pays attention to it because it's like they don't want that stuff on their page. It's horrible. They don't want to hear about it. And that's the problem with our world here is people would much rather turn a blind eye to these things than rather bring them to light because it bothers them. This is what bothers me. There was a segment, I believe it was Blake Lively. She's an actress. You guys have probably know her from Gossip Girl, but she's married to Ryan Reynolds and they have two children and I believe one on the way. I'm not really sure. But she was at a conference and she was talking about child exploitation. And listening to her words just killed me. I was like, what the heck is wrong with our community? What is wrong with this? Because these are things that are happening on a day-to-day basis. These are things that do not get discussed as much as they should. People don't want to hear it. People are like, gosh, why do you listen to this crap? Why do you pay attention to this stuff? And honestly, why don't you? That's my problem with this is why don't you talk about it? You should be talking about it. Everybody should be talking about it. Everybody should be sharing it. Everybody should be focusing on it because that is the biggest crisis that we are in right now is the child exploitation, child abuse, child trafficking, and sex crimes against children. And that is the one thing right now that I feel is the most dangerous event that's happening to us because it's happening so often and nothing is being done about it. So there is an arraignment of different types of child crimes that I could get into detail with right now, but I want to focus on two specific cases. I'm hoping that by listening to what I have to say, it could open your mind to the fact that you don't know what is around you. You don't know who is around you. You may know somebody, but you don't know them personally. You don't know what's going on in their head. A lot of these child crimes, they actually get put under a stigma of mental illness, which really pisses me off because half of these people know what they're doing. This is not, this is like, it is as simple as waking up and choosing a shirt to wear. That is how these people work. This is not a mental illness. This is an actual choice. And this is what bothers me the most is people are trying to justify these kinds of crimes as a choice. As not a choice, but a mental illness. And that bothers me. That really, really bothers me because I don't think that's fair, especially to the victims, because what? They are the end product of somebody else's mental illness. That makes absolutely no sense. It's horrible. It's absolutely horrible to think about that. Okay. So basically, the reason why I'm choosing to talk about this is because when you have dealt firsthand with a system, as I have, you will notice that a lot of things are in and out. You don't necessarily, if you put one product on a table, they don't focus on the main source of the product. They look at ways to get around it. Like, okay, well, how do we do this without doing that? Well, how do we get this without getting that? It is very, very frustrating, especially when you know damn well that these people who are in charge of the system are actually doing everything in their power to avoid what's really going on. Okay. So these are just my opinions. This is how I feel. You can agree to disagree. I would hope that the sane, normal spectrum of human beings in this world would actually agree with me.
But I feel like our justice system is a piece of shit. I feel like it is incredibly entitled and nobody pays attention and nobody cares about justice. That is what bothers me the most because you have these capable people that know right from wrong. And here you are defending what they did because they have rights. No, in my opinion, I don't think so. You rape a child, you have no rights. You don't deserve to be a part of a community ever again. That's my opinion. I don't care if you agree or you disagree, but if you disagree, please tell me why. I would love to know. So I'm going to focus right now on two separate cases, okay? Each are absolutely brutal. And I warn you that they are very, very hard to hear. The things that I'm going to be discussing are very graphic. They are very horrible things to hear. But these are two children that are no longer alive to tell their stories, and they are the ones you should be thinking of when you're just avoiding this kind of subject. Think about them when you say, "I just can't listen to stuff like that. It breaks my heart." Well, think about what their families are going through. Just think about that for a minute. You know, what if this was your child? Would you want people to forget them? Would you want people to stop telling their story? Or would you want to keep screaming your story from the top of the mountains until somebody does something about this kind of reaction you get in a justice system that is so biased, okay? It's just biased. I'm gonna first talk about a case involving a baby, and her name was Brianna Lopez. I want everybody to remember her name for the rest of your life. Her name is Brianna Lopez, and she was born on Valentine's Day. She was 5 months old, and this is her story. In this article that I got from easttexasmatters.com, this is about the mother of Brianna Lopez released from prison early. This is probably one of the many things that pisses me off about the justice system, especially when you hear why. So it says the mother of baby Brianna Lopez, the 5-month-old who was brutally raped and beat to death in 2002, was released from prison. Stephanie Lopez was released after serving nearly 13 years of her 27-year prison sentence. Literally, she was sentenced to 27 years and only served 13. Lopez was convicted in 2003 in connection to the death of her daughter Brianna. This case was sent shockwaves through the entire community. Baby Brianna was horrifically tortured, raped, and murdered, and we all want the monsters who took part in this brutal crime to face justice. I agree. Secretary of Corrections Greg M Markenthal said, "Unfortunately, the law at the time allowed these violent offenders to have a much lighter sentence than what they deserved." Okay. Basically, this is saying that the law is on their side. What about Brianna's side? Really? I mean, come on now. Okay. Brianna was just a few months old when her father, Andrew Walters, and Uncle Stephen Lopez raped and abused her. Her mother took part in the abuse, biting the child from head to toe, allowed the rapes to happen. The jury found Stephanie Lopez not guilty of intentional child abuse, but guilty of child abuse resulting in death, which makes absolutely no sense. She received a 27-year sentence, but under the law was eligible for day-for-day good time credit for time served in jail awaiting trial. Basically, this means she was let go on good behavior. You allowed your baby to die. You allowed your disgusting piece of shit husband to rape your baby, and you get out on good behavior. That makes no sense to me. Okay. Walters received a total of 63 years in prison for child abuse resulting in death and rape. He also is eligible for good time, as is Stephen Lopez, who received a 57-year sentence in total for rape and neglect resulting in death. These people are eligible for early release due to good behavior. Okay. Nice. Walters' mother, Patricia Walters, and his brother, Robert Walters Jr., were convicted of failing to report abuse and were sentenced to 60 days in jail. So, what I need you to understand about this is these people knew what was going on. Okay, they sat in a courtroom. They admitted that they knew that she was being horrifically abused, raped, and tortured, and they did nothing about it because they did not want to get involved. Corrections officials had five independent auditors to review Lopez's case file to ensure that she served her full sentence. The state does not have the authority to alter the court-ordered sentence that permits her release. Lopez will serve 2 years of parole in another state through Interstate Compact Agreement. Location of offenders and interstate compact is confidential. She will have to follow all rules and requirements of her parole, as well as state and federal laws. Baby Brianna's Law, named after the victim, now sets a mandatory life sentence for child abuse resulting in death for a child under 13. An effort to expand the law to children from ages 13 to 18 died in the state Senate in 2015 and 16 legislative sessions. Okay. Now, if you don't know what that means, basically is baby Brianna, her parents would have served life in prison if this law would have been passed. But her story had to happen in order for this law to take place. Because apparently, when you rape and abuse a child, you are protected by law, so you don't have to serve a sentence like that. That's okay. Interesting. Wow. Okay. Well, anyways, so let's go ahead and let's get into the actual case file. This is, yeah, this is where it's gonna get a little graphic. So I really, really hope and pray that you guys bear with me on this, okay? Okay. So this article is from Loving Acts Saves Lives. Now, basically, this entire website is dedicated to children that have suffered from horrific child abuse. This is dedicated to them, okay? Okay. The story of 5-month-old baby Brianna is a hard one, but it is the ugly reality of child abuse. Violent family members caused her death while others hid what they knew was going on. Brianna was beaten and raped by her own family. Yes, her own mother, her own father, and her own uncle from the time she came home from the hospital. Okay. Her father and uncle threw her to the ceiling and watched as she hit the ground over and over again. They raped her, they beat her, said District Attorney Susana Martinez, who prosecuted the case, literally bruised from head to toe, from the top of her head, all throughout her body, all the way to the big toe on her right foot. She had bite marks on her face, cheek, head, arms, legs, chest, torso, everywhere. After her arrest, her mother admitted to biting her baby repeatedly. She sustained massive injuries, both internal as well as external. She had bruising all over her head and face, and her little fingers and toes were lacerated. Detective Lyndall Wright, who was the first officer on the scene. Baby Brianna died July 19th, 2002. Baby Brianna's autopsy revealed signs of long-term abuse. The autopsy of a 5-month-old Brianna Lopez revealed she had suffered abuse most of her short life in what deputies say is one of the worst cases of child abuse they had ever seen. Brianna was pronounced dead Friday morning at Memorial Medical Center as she was rushed there when attempts to revive her failed. Dead on arrival, Anna County Sheriff Sergeant Ed Miranda said. Police arrested Brianna's parents, Stephanie Lopez, 19, Andy Walters, 21, and Uncle Stephen Lopez, 19. They are each charged with child abuse resulting in death. Walters was also charged with criminal sexual penetration of the baby. Deputies have now interviewed the six adults, two children who lived in the home with Brianna, and Miranda said the family is being cooperative. The autopsy revealed a long list of injuries that appeared to have been inflicted over an extended period of time upon the little girl who was born on Valentine's Day. Miranda detailed the multiple injuries found on the baby's body, said Brianna had 11 human bite marks in varied stages of healing, multiple bruises, fractures to two right ribs, three skull fractures, swelling of the brain, and signs of shaken baby syndrome. Brianna also had fractures to both legs. Bucket fractures to both of her thighs. which is basically they're trying to say that it's an injury experts say is commonly caused by picking up the child with a quick jerking motion by the legs. But because she was violently raped, we all know that bucket injuries to her thighs meant not what they said. Okay? I'm just gonna lay it out there for you. Investigators have obtained dental impressions to determine who made the bite marks. Obviously, this would be her family. Walters admitted to biting Brianna, but said he did not take a chunk out of her. Walter said his 18-month-old son also bit the baby. He said that Stephanie Lopez also bit and pinched her when she became frustrated with Brianna. According to Miranda, Walters and Stephen Lopez were drinking beer the night before when they began to toss Brianna into the air, hitting her head on the ceiling and at least twice failing to catch her before she hit the floor. Stephen Lopez told investigators that he had drunk 10 beers from a case that Walters admitted buying. Stephanie Lopez said she had about three, then fell asleep. The next morning, she told investigators she found Brianna on the floor and was unable to wake her. Walters said when Stephanie Lopez asked what happened to Brianna, he told her, "We played a little rough with her last night." No shit. You played a little rough with her. You threw her up and down the ceiling. I would say that that is not playing rough. That's torturing your child, you sick pieces of shit, but whatever. Miranda said it is the worst case of child abuse he had ever seen in his law enforcement career. Ugh. This is horrible. The investigators and what is revealed has been emotional for the officers working on the case. Well, I would imagine so. When you have parents hurting children, you have a lot of emotions, Miranda said. The sheriff records show no child abuse reports were made at the home. Miranda said that there had been domestic disturbance calls, but none involving the children. Okay. Now, these are the events that happened that night. Okay. And they are graphic. Thursday night, July 18th at 6 p.m., Andy Walters stopped to buy a case of beer and headed home to their residence. I'm not even gonna say where that's at. Okay, so three people, Walter, Stephanie, and her twin brother, drink through the evening. Stephanie went to bed at about after three beers. According to court documents, Andy Walters and Stephen Lopez admitted to playing with Stephanie and Walter's five-month-old daughter Brianna. Police records show that Walters and Lopez threw the child into the air, causing her to hit her head on the ceiling three times, then dropped her twice on the floor. Andy Walters told investigators that Brianna was conscious and crying. At around 12:30 a.m. Friday morning, Andy Walters fell asleep, not knowing where Brianna was. At 3 in the morning, Walters said he awoke to find Brianna on the floor near the bed. He said he wrapped her in a blanket and put her in the bouncer. By 7 a.m., Brianna needed a diaper change. Stephanie Lopez asked about the bruises on Brianna, and according to court documents, Walters admitted that he and Stephen Lopez played a little rough with her. Walters changed her diaper and took a baby wipe and wrapped it around his finger and inserted it into her anus. Basically, he sodomized her as he was changing her diaper. The complaint also states that Andy Walters admitted he bit Brianna on several occasions, but he told Donna Anna, the county sheriff's deputies, that he is not the only family member to bite her because biting her is the worst thing you could have done. Obviously, that's just terrible. Walters also told authorities that Stephanie Lopez pinched and threw Brianna out of frustration. The uncle, Stephen Lopez, admits to throwing Brianna in the air and not catching her. Stephen Lopez claims to have drunk 10 beers the previous night during his interview. Oh my God. Stephen Lopez admitted to having sex with Brianna Lopez and she was 5 months old, adding that he, as well as Andy Walters, had penetrated Brianna on several different occasions. Okay. So here we are. We have three disgusting, sick individuals, all of who are absolutely horrible. They basically brutally tortured this poor child until she died. And that is how she spent her last few hours of life, was being thrown up to the ceiling and being dropped to the ground and being sodomized and raped by her own father and uncle and being tortured by whore. Like, I just don't understand this. So these people went to prison, and the mother served 13 years. That's it. That's all she served. That's it. And she's eligible. She is now a free woman. So how does that make any sense? Where's the justice for that? How in the hell do these people live with themselves? Especially the law. Why is the law like this? Brianna Lopez would be 16 years old. I believe she's coming up on her 17th birthday on Valentine's Day 2000 and 20, she should be 17 or 18 now, which is absolutely horrible. And so if her grandparents would have stopped being an idiot and actually reported this when they first heard about it, She might still be alive. So I truly hope that they're never able to live with themselves for this, because that's just absolutely sick. Okay. So these people basically are disgusting humans, and they are still alive while she's not. She made 5 months to her life. That's it. And just think of a 5 pound, 5 month old baby. Just think about that for a minute and just, oh. Okay. So now I want to talk about a case. And this is about a little girl named Sarah Foxwell. Basically, this is a different type of situation, but the justice for it, I think, in my opinion, it could have been 10 times better. But whatever. Okay, so. Okay. Sarah Foxwell, on December 25th, 2009, the 11-year-old Salisbury's girl murdered body was found after a massive search that involved the community. This is from WBOC, I believe. So Sarah was in her aunt's care when she was abducted from her home the evening of December 22nd. Her body was found 3 days later in a wooded area of Wicomo County near Maryland-Delaware line. The state medical examiner officers ruled Sarah's death a homicide and found that she died of multiple injuries. Thomas J. Legs, Jr., 31, a registered sex offender in Maryland and Delaware, has been charged with first-degree murder, first and second degree burglary, kidnapping child under 16, first and second hand degree sex offense in connection with Sarah's death. Sarah's tragic death helped toughen up Maryland's laws and sex offenders. It brought into focus that, as we stated, looking into procedures, it felt like there were a number of steps that could have been taken to improve that. Okay. So Sarah's legacy lives on in other ways as well. A Maryland State Police trooper who helped organize search efforts for Sarah named a new bloodhound after the child to keep her memory alive. Okay. So here's the issue. Okay. Now, this man, from what I have read and listened to on the True Crime Report, he was a registered sex offender. Okay. So he had several counts of child molestation on his record. But he served a sentence and he was released from prison and back into society. That is my problem, number one. Why in the hell, after doing something like that, would you ever think that you could be rehabilitated and living back into society? So not only was this disgusting individual able to get into a new family and coax them, but he was able to groom a child to leaving with him in the middle of the night. So I watched this crime documentary on YouTube. It was, I believe it was on the True Crime. You can watch it yourself. And it pisses you off. The entire situation just pisses you off if you think about this. So in the middle of the night, he knocked on, or like he opened up the sliding glass door and he took her out. So she willingly went with him, even took her toothbrush because she knew him. This was how easy this was for her or for him. So he left with her, but her little sister saw everything. She was six at the time, so she didn't necessarily feel like a right to speak up. She was scared, obviously. She was six. So when the police decide, like when the police finally caught wind of what happened, they did some research, found he was a registered sex offender. So, they were like a race against the clock. So basically, when they found him, he had child pornography and all this other stuff, and they did find her toothbrush, but they did not find her. They looked all over for her, like everywhere, and they finally found her. So basically, she was burned up half of her body. The officer did say that when he came upon her body, it looked like she had been reaching out for help. So her autopsy revealed that not only was she brutally sexually assaulted, but she was tortured. He attempted to drown her in a mud puddle because she had water, mud in her throat, and
they determined that she had actually died by being burned. So she was alive when he tried burning her, like when he burned her to get rid of his evidence. Now, he went to jail, obviously, and 6 months later, this is what I watched on the true crime episode, so you can watch it yourself and then you can correct me if I'm wrong. But he did not get the death penalty. He literally murdered this poor child, and he served maybe 6 months in jail and was released on good behavior awaiting his trial. I do not understand this at all. Now, I would have to go back and do my research again just to double check and make sure I said that right. But I do know now, later on, a couple of years down the road, he did get convicted of her murder and he will never walk the streets again. Thank God, at least. But why in the hell did it take them so long to actually do this? But so the difference is the state laws in each state. They're all different. They're not the same. Each state has a different type of law for this kind of thing. And believe it or not, drugs outweigh them. So put it this way, if you rape a child and you get sentenced to jail, you'll serve jail time, but there is a very good chance you'll get released and you get to come home on good behavior. This doesn't make any sense to me. So then the last thing I want to talk to you guys about is this last case that everybody was watching on you'll see the video on YouTube. So this DoorDash camera had caught a kidnapping in progress. I believe she was an 8-year-old girl. And this man, when they found her, she was alive, she was unharmed. She was in a hotel with a man. But they did find her and everything. But he got life in prison. Okay, so he's never going to see the inside of a normal home ever again. He is in prison for the rest of his life. Now, she was missing for 8 hours. She was returned unharmed. And she was alive. Okay? But he went to jail for the rest of his life for this. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that's not justifiable. That's exactly where he should be. But here you've got three disgusting individuals that raped and tortured a 5-month-old baby. One of them only served 13 years and is out on parole right now. And the other two are eligible for parole and release early on good behavior. And the other one got released from prison 6 months into his sentence for good behavior, yet both of those were murder crimes against children that resulted in brutal, graphic sexual rape and torture. Yet the man who kidnapped a little girl who was found unharmed, and 8 hours later, he gets life in prison immediately. Do you understand how screwed up this is? Seriously. So, it's a given, okay? It is a given. Nobody knows their surroundings. People will say to you, "Don't download the sexual registry app. Don't do that. Don't do that. It's just gonna freak you out." I don't give a shit if it's gonna freak me out. I want to know when I'm closing my eyes at night. I want to know who's around me. I want to know if my children are in danger because I can't necessarily think of anything else other than my children's safety at night, okay? And that's another thing I want to say to you guys. Okay, so basically, during this whole process of what was happening to Brianna Lopez, her mother said that she didn't hear anything. You're living in a trailer home. The walls are paper thin. How do you not hear two men throwing your baby up against the ceiling and dropping her and then brutally raping and torturing her? How do you not hear this? How do you not hear this? Your child is obviously screaming. How do you not hear this? Me, I will have my headphones on, and if I so much as hear a whimper from one of my kids, I'm up and I'm checking. So I don't believe that shit for any reason. No reason whatsoever. Anywho, so that's besides the point. So let's just basically state the fact that when it comes to these types of crimes, people get slaps on the wrist. This crime that the for Brianna Lopez, her family, her Her mother, her father, and her uncle should have gotten the death penalty. This is a horrific case. You should have gotten the death penalty immediately, or you should be spending the rest of your life behind bars. You should not be eligible for parole for this type of murder. Why is it you can go to jail for the rest of your life for smoking pot, but a murder resulting in a graphic torture, rape, and brutal death of a 5-month-old baby only served 13 years? I don't understand this. Please explain this to me, please, because I'd like to know. So, when I am walking around my house and I am looking at all of the windows and the doors, I am not thinking my house is locked and safe. I'm not thinking that at all. I'm thinking, wow, I have so many different easy access points for anybody to come in through my window. People say, no. You're on the reg they're on the registry. They're not going to come in and hurt you. They're not going to, they've got to abide by a rule. Okay, so explain to me how Sarah Foxwell was saved. Explain this to me. How was she saved? This man was a registered sex offender with several counts of child molestation and child pornography, and he was released from prison on good behavior. And he raped and he brutally tortured this poor child. I mean, like, come on. How is a registry going to keep anybody safe? How are people going to ever get the justice that they deserve when their attackers get slaps on the wrist? So, this is open for discussion. Please explain to me what you think. Talk to me about your feelings. Explain how you think that this could all change. How do you think this could change? I mean, is the justice system corrupt or what? Because I don't get this. I don't get this at all. Okay, so thanks for sticking with me through that. This is my very first segment of Brutal Crimes, and I am going signing off now because I need to process everything I just said. But thanks for sticking with me. I know that everybody has a voice. We can all make a difference if we just pay attention to the details. Something needs to change, guys. Come on now. Okay, these are children. They don't deserve this. Nobody deserves this. The laws need to change. Pedophiles do not belong in communities. They do not belong anywhere except for inside of a jail cell for the rest of their lives. That is how I feel, and that's my opinion. I'm sorry, but I'm brutally honest.